Hey, Chase, if you don't mind, shut that back door for us, please, where nobody will get out. Amen. No, they're going to do an Easter egg hunt for the littles back there, so they wanted us to shut the door in case they were hunting in here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Some really neat stuff this morning, after service. I had a lot of people contact me either by text message, phone, or messenger, that message hit them in many different ways. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you that while I preached, it was the first time I ever preached that message. I thought I did a dreadful job. But the Lord really used that, and we got to see a lot of people make some decisions in their life. I had a young man come to me, was going to go to a different service altogether this morning, and then all of a sudden changed his mind, and he stood there in front of me, man, just God just tore him up. But it was a good day. I want to teach tonight if I can. I know normally that turns into me running and screaming and hollering, so I'm going to attempt to preach and teach tonight. And I love the music tonight, but if you're going to keep me involved, don't put the dots on there and move them. Because when you do, I can't even know what we're singing. I'm sitting there looking at the dots. Man, the dots went that way, and now they're going this way. And Melissa's like, there's a song up there. I know, but the dots. I thought about asking Scott if he wanted to come up and help me preach. Since he's going to get out of comfort zone, just come on up here. No, I'm just kidding, messing with you. Have I gave you enough time to get to 2 Timothy chapter 1? Now listen, Paul wrote 14 epistles. He wrote to all the churches, but he only wrote to two pastors. Two young preachers, too. So you need to hear what he's going to say. And you say, well, I'm not a preacher. But God gives, through Paul, gives some great advice to some people who want to minister to other people. And that'd be us as a church. And if you don't want to do that, you might want to check up and get saved. Because when you get saved, the only thing you ever really truly want to do is see other people get saved. Amen. I mean, at my salvation, when I got saved, the only thing I want to do is cast a lifeline back out into the water and help somebody else from getting drowned. Amen? I didn't have to do anything but throw the lifeline to them. Just keep throwing it. That's all we do. But let's get into this. I want y'all to see this is going to help you on many different levels if you'll let it. I even wrote a note or two, so you'll know we're teaching if I'm using a note. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul reminds himself as he writes to Timothy that he's not promised a great life here, he's promised eternal life. I want you to understand why he wrote that, because this is the last letter Paul will write. Because he's going to die. He's coming up on the end of his race. He's going to finish well. He's going to, you know how runners do when they come to the end of the finish line, they stick their necks out. Well, Paul's really going to stick his neck out to the finish line. Amen. They built the gallows for him, and he could probably hear them building it right outside the wall where he was in prison. But so he writes this letter to encourage Timothy and to help Timothy, but also to remind himself that God's promises are eternal promises. I hope you get that because it'll help you in the greatest troubles of your life, and you're going to have great troubles. We're all going to come to things that's going to make us stand still and try to get through some things, some hard things. And the only way we're going to do is we're going to remind us God didn't save us for this place. Now, we can make the most of it, live for Him, glorify Him, and He gives us more. I guarantee you, He gives us more good than we got bad. I'm looking out at most of you. It gives you more good than it gives you bad. But there is some dregs in there. I don't want to get into a whole message about dregs, but if you'll get down there to where Jesus was praying in the garden, he asked his Father, he said, Lord, if it be thine will you let this cup pass? And what he was really wanting it to pass was not the mixed cup of life, but the dregs. See, Jesus was going to drink the dregs for us. And what the dregs are is in the mix of life, the dregs are the heart, the death, the pain, the misery, the separation from God. And see, what he wanted to do is, in his flesh, just like me in your flesh, he was 100% God, but he was 100% man. He was begging God in that garden. He said, if you could let it happen, let this pass. My flesh don't want to do this. But his prayer answers, you know, he answered his own prayer, thine will be done, not mine. Amen? What it come right down to is Jesus drunk the hardest thing that we'll ever have to drink. He drunk it before us. Amen? So you got to remind yourself. Sometimes when you're in the dark places, you got to remind there's a light coming. Amen? We always say that the proverbial light at the end of the tunnel. I'm just telling you, there's a light at the end of this life. And when you see it, you'll be glad that you went through everything you went through. You'll be glad of the day that you were saved. You were glad that everything you got to go through for that day there. Amen? I just want you to do that. Paul wrote that to Timothy. And listening to the second part, I've said this before here at this church, and I'll say it again. He says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God, God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. Timothy's dad was a Greek, and it don't ever give a record that he was saved. So ain't that amazing that Paul comes along in Timothy's life and becomes like a father figure to him? Amen? And him being a son figure to him. And you won't ever know the difference between who got more blessing out of it. The father type or the son type. But that's who we are as believers. See, I love salvation. Don't get me wrong. I love salvation. I love to see people get saved. I love to see Christians. Man, I wanted to just teach. I don't want to get all emotional, but I love to see Christians grow. But I love the fellowship of the brethren. I do. It's one of the greatest benefits of being a Christian that I didn't even know existed until I get, you know, 5 and 10 years in the ministry, that you find some people in this thing that become family to you. And it's deep, and it's good, and it's helpful. And you know what they do more than anybody else? They love on you, they encourage you, and they help you, but they do one more thing for you. They ask God with prayer on your behalf. Because they'll be the first one to tell you, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know how to make it better for you. And believe me, I've done this so many times. I've walked into rooms that I didn't want to walk into, buildings I didn't want to walk into, and in situations that I really don't understand how they work or why it's going on. And I've told them, I really don't know what's happening, but I'm going to pray for you. And a lot of people start out with my prayer with, God help us. God help us. And remember where we're at. I don't have any control over what's going on, but Lord, I know you do. Man, I just let that sink in. Sometimes God will let you have, no, God will always let you have some people in your life that are Christians, that are more like your family than your family are sometimes. Amen. Family's important, I get that. Believe me, I love my family, but let me tell you this, I love my forever family. Amen. They are important to me. And they help me. Me and Melissa have been on the road for a long time. We've moved from place to place. And we get further and further away. And you don't know what some of you in this room mean to us. Amen? All of you in this room, you're more like our family because we're so far away a lot of times. Anyway. And you have that same thing. You got that same thing. And you can't tell who gets more out of it. The person that's sowing, like we're sowing in your life and you're being, you can't weigh it out. Amen? Paul couldn't ever say, I guarantee you, he couldn't ever say, well, you've really blessed Timothy. No, Timothy's really blessed me. He loves me and I love him. Verse 3. I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with a pure conscience without ceasing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. There's a recipe here. There's a recipe. I started looking at it, and there's a recipe for when you're going through a hard time. There's a recipe of how to get your mind and your heart out of a hard time. You ready? Here's the recipe. Paul is coming to the end of his life, and he is about to be sacrificed for the calling that's on his life. And if you're not careful, that can be overwhelming. God, listen, I know there's times in your life where circumstances in your life can get overwhelming. So what does Paul do? The first part of the first part of the recipe. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Listen, I know it's hard. Man, if anybody could tell you, I know this, you would think the preacher's got it figured out. The first thing he does is, some of y'all got it in your mind, I get up in the morning and I float to the bathroom. I don't. And some of y'all think I get up and as soon as an issue out, I get right connected. I go right to the throne. Oh, glory. And God says, oh, Kevin, the pastor from Flat Top, welcome. He doesn't. A lot of times, and I'm not trying to make you look at me in a different way, but I'm telling you this. A lot of times, God, he's saying this. A lot of times, I'll try to solve everything. I'm an A-type personality. I'll have a conversation about it, a thought. I'll make up a plan. I'll have a meeting about it with myself and whoever will have the meeting, and I've got a plan to fix it, and I haven't even talked to God about it. Man, when we first should have went, you know, you're in that tough spot, that spot that grinds you, that place. Thank God. Listen how Paul does it. He starts praising him. Thank you, God, from where you found me. Remind yourself and remind him of where he found you. Thank you for getting me out of the pit, the miry clay, for lifting me up when I couldn't lift myself. Thank you for putting me on solid ground. Oh my God, Lord, you put me in the ministry. I didn't put myself here. Thank you, Lord. I'm not qualified. There's nothing special about me outside of you. Matter of fact, it's probably my weaknesses that you're using as my strengths, and my strengths you've done away with. If I said that a little bit slower, y'all would have got a better response. Did you hear what I just said? Y'all remember, I don't want to get into the whole message about Moses, but you know, the first thing he said, I want you to go back and I want you to tell Pharaoh. There's only one problem with that. The man's got a real stuttering problem. I tried to shoot as an example. He had a real stuttering problem. That's just like God. To take a man who can't talk and make him the speaker. I amen myself on that. Somebody said, well, how'd you know when you was a preacher? You just want to preach your whole life? I didn't like to speak in public unless I was cutting up. You know what I mean? Here, give a speech. No way. I'll take whatever grade you give me for that one. But now, if I'm in a group of people and there needs to be somebody cutting up and making fun, I'm your man. Never mind. Are you following me? God don't, he ain't looking at your strengths and going, man, I'm impressed with that one. He's looking at your weaknesses and going, man, if I could ever use those, everybody would glorify me through that. Amen? Are you seeing it? But remind yourself. And the first thing, he is, I'm telling you, we think all the time, man, all these preachers, these ministers, they got it all. Man, Paul, man, I'm telling you, when the gallows are being, when they're finished, and you know your head's got to go in one of those nooses, amen? It'll make your prayer life change. Thank God. Amen? He reminds, so first thing you do is you get this vertical thing going. You start worshiping God. Reminding him of where he found you, and reminding yourself of where he found you, and reminding that this day is a hard day, but praise God he didn't leave you where you were. I'm going through a real tough situation in my life, and somebody said, well, how could God be doing that? And you know what I said? Thank God he didn't leave him where he was. It's a whole different story. You live your whole life and don't have a blemish, don't have a spot, live to 100, not saved. You're a failure. Amen? That's what I thought in my mind. My goodness, if I wouldn't trade anything. Amen? I wouldn't trade anything for my salvation now. Ain't nothing worth it. Are y'all seeing it? I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that was without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Guess what else he did? He didn't only reach up, but he reached out. He seen Timothy and he said, hey, I'm praying and I'm reminding myself and worshiping God, but I've been praying for you. Wait a minute, you're dying, you're praying for me? Yeah, get your mind off of what's going on in your life. Try to pray for somebody else who's got something going on in their life. It'll be amazing. You're ministering to somebody when you're broken to pieces. It just somehow, I don't know how it works, it just does work. All of a sudden, your pieces don't seem so broken. Just listen to what I'm saying. Greatly desiring to see thee. Paul's, he's got a death sentence, and he's like, man, I would love to see you again. I would like to see you. When I'm around you, you encourage me. Listen to this part. Being mindful of your tears. What do you think Timothy's upset about? He's about to lose Paul. I'm upset that you're upset that I'm going to be put to death. So I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to pray that you get full joy. Man, I'm telling you, if you'll ever take the focus off yourself, my goodness, what you'll be free to do. Amen? You'll be free. Listen, I started thinking about this today. I really did. I started thinking about, you know, messages and people that are anointed and have charisma and stuff like that. I started thinking, that's awesome. But you know what's even more, you know what's awesome about that? Is people who write stuff down. Paul wrote 14 epistles. I don't even know how great of a preacher he was. Probably not very good at all. His appearance might not, his delivery might not be worth the flip. But guess what? About every preacher I know preaches his stuff. Because the man, when he was dying, said, if you get to come to me, can you do me a favor? Oh, my God. I'm trying to teach. He says, will you do me a favor? Will you bring my coat? It must have been a cool coat. Could you bring that one coat? Because I like that coat. You ever done that? Never mind. Then he says, bring those parchments. Bring the paper. That's the most important thing. Bring the paper. Golly, you know what I'm saying? You're in prison. Bring me food. Bring me something. Help me out in prison. Bring me some paper where I can write down and help all these people from where I'm at. Because these letters are going to be important to somebody someday. Some preacher on a mountain in 2018 is going to need these to preach. Can you get a grasp of him being down in that, I mean, third world type prison with poor lighting and poor eyesight? Just pinning stuff to help you to do all things through Christ. You're sitting there going, man, I can do all. People are running around football fields. Well, I can do all things. People, I can do all things. Yeah, because a man who was dying in prison wrote that for you. Because instead of sitting there and dwelling and stewing in the fact that he was dying, he thought it would be better to minister to people. That way, he don't have to sit in that. If you don't want to sit in your misery, get connected with God and get connected outward to people. It will change your stinking thinking. Whew. I need that a lot. Amen. I need to have my stinking thinking changed a lot. Verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. God, he's fawning over Timothy. You know what I mean? He's putting some stuff out there. You got unfeigned, unwavering faith. But listen to this. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Ain't that cool? You know why I wanted to teach this part? I'm so excited about what I'm doing right here tonight. I love this almost as much as any new message or anything I've ever gotten. You know what he said? The greatest thing you could ever pass down to your kids is faith. He said, your grandmother, I remember seeing her. When I first took out as a ministry, I remember preaching down by the river, and there was your grandmother. Man, a woman full of faith. Shouting and praising, and I remember your mom. Man, they just took me right up and helped me and ministered to me. They had great faith in a man they had never met, a person who just come through and preached the gospel that nobody ever heard to a Gentile nation that nobody else would receive, and they just scooped me right up. And what I seen in them, I see in you. Listen, one of the greatest things will ever be told of you if somebody says, you know what, I see something in your great-grandkids and your grandkids that I seen in you. I seen something in your boy. I seen something in your daughter that I once seen in you guys. And that's their faith. Guys, the greatest thing we could ever pass on is our faith. We think it's a lot of stuff, but it's not. It's faith. Because that's the thing that's going to last forever. If you trust God, you get everything else. Amen? Amen? God is the God of the abundant life. Without God, you don't have an abundant life. Now, it might not be the life that you planned for them. All the mamas said amen. It might not be the life that we planned for them. This career, this thing, that thing. But when God gets a hold of it, let me tell you something. He can take them places that'll scare you to death, but guess what? It'll be the most gratifying thing you'll ever experience. And I guarantee you, it'll be the most gratifying thing they'll ever experience is God getting a hold of it. If God takes them, He can watch them when you can't. He can protect them when you can't. He can see them when you can't. He can hear them when you can't. Oh, no. Whew. Ain't you glad of that? I'm just glad, man. I'm glad one day my boy, they're going to get places where I can't ever reach them and I can't hear them, but I know God can. Even if it's the most dire situation that they ever, like Jonah in the belly of the whale, if he... where God is, but I'm going to make an effort. God will hear them. Whew. Man, I don't know about you, but I needed that. Amen? And He'll hear you too. Amen? Verse 6. Golly, I like this verse. Hey, if I wasn't teaching, I might just get crazy. But I'm teaching. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. You know why God, through Paul, tells Timothy that? Because we all have a tendency to settle. We all do. Even a firebrand like Timothy, who got to sit under one of the greatest teacher preachers, the man who went out to the Gentiles, you'd think, man, no way would Timothy ever settle. Yeah, you will. And all of it seems to settle. You just sit there, and next thing you know, it's been years and years and years since you stirred up your gift. And you got plenty of reasons why you haven't stirred it up, but none of them matter to God. Oh, y'all liked me about a half second ago. Because if God is the God who opens and closes the doors, why in the world are you talking about what happened to you because somebody else done something? Because if God done something through somebody, He did it on purpose. You know, I've got this radical thought about this. I don't believe anybody can do anything to me that God don't want them to do. There ain't a man on the face of the planet can close a door and get me out of it if God didn't want him to. And there ain't a man or a woman on the face of this planet, if the door's open, that can stop me from going through it. That's just how radical I think about God. But sometimes, as years go by, we can let our gift just settle. And it's heavy and it's awesome, but the gift settles, don't it? And then we go on for a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. Mm-hmm. We haven't stirred our gift up. We wonder where our joy and our peace and our happiness, and where is that fire? Where is that excitement? We see it in those people that just got saved. We see it in somebody who reads the scripture for the first time. We see somebody who gets melted down when God gets on them. We wonder where it is in our lives. How do you stir up something like that? How do you stir up a gift? You go back and you remind yourself. You worship. You praise God for finding you where He was. And then you ask Him. He's a good father. If you go back to your dad and say, Dad, I want to do it again. I want to do it again. The church at Ephesus, they had a list. You hate evil, eschew evil. You hate false teaching. Man, they had a better list than we do. But then he said one thing, but you've left your first love. What did he tell them to do? Repent. And get back to your first. Listen, golly, y'all. Wish I could teach this a little bit better than I can. I mean, somebody else could do a better job at this. But I want to tell you this. Listen, if you want something good, you got to go back and start over. You got to go back and do the stuff you did when it was hot, when it was exciting, when it was all. You got to go back and do that. I feel like I just gave y'all some marriage advice too. And maybe some friend advice. Amen? But definitely some spiritual advice. Remember when you used to be excited about God? Would you run in and tell everybody that you got saved and you're excited about what He's doing and da 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 da? And now it's just kind of like, well, they have to pry it out of you. They have to force it out of you. You're going to tinker with you until and we start out with the lowest common denominator. We go to church. Wouldn't you like to be so stirred up? Somebody radically just goes, I don't even care where you go. I want to go. Man, I don't even really care what church you go to. I'd like to come and just see somebody like you. I'd like to drink from the same wells you drink at. Ooh, never mind. Never mind, right? We're just teaching. Don't want to get excited, do we? I do. I'll read it again. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Listen to this. I wrote some stuff down. I want y'all to get this, and I didn't want to forget it because it's good stuff. Look at this. It says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. Verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, spirit of fear. Let's deal with that first. Fear usually enters in when a person focuses on his or her situation and abilities rather than God's sovereignty and His attributes. Amen? You look around and you start going, I'm going under. I'm not very good. I don't think I'm going to do well. I don't think God's in this anymore. I don't know. All of a sudden, God just stopped using me. I don't know why, but He's just not in this anymore. Even though He's got more invested in your salvation, your life than you do. Right? So you're focusing on what's going on in your life instead of focusing on God and His attributes. Right? Listen, I wrote this down. It was good stuff, I thought. Following fear to its logical conclusion, it stops service. You hear that? Following to its logical. If you got fear, I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not talented enough, they're not going to use me, they don't like me, and they've shut me out, then automatically, logically, the next thing is you stop doing anything. Right? Because you're afraid. Fear will do two things to most people. You get the fight and the flight, but you either stop or you take off, usually, right? That's what happens. I mean, if you're a fighter, you're a fighter. Great, but I'm just saying, most of the time, you'll freeze up or you'll take off. And that's what this kind of stuff does, is you don't get the spirit of fear. Listen, but recalling one's spiritual heritage and friendships. Listen to this. That's what he says. What breaks fear? What breaks fear is reminding you where you came from. My grandmother had faith. Like, remember Paul said, you got a godly heritage? Man, my grandmother, she was a fireball. And I'm not, hey, I cut my family tree's good. Hey, my mom was a fireball. My dad was a fireball. Hey, I'm a fireball too. I love God too. They're not the only ones. Amen. You got an audience looking down in this thing. Man, great cloud of witnesses looking down, watching over us. So, hey, run a good race because they're watching. Amen? I love that. Friendships. As well as God is calling and giftings. Oh, my goodness, never mind. God's callings and giftings. Man, sometimes I got to remind myself, wait a minute. Remember when He gave me this gift. He gave me this calling. I remember the night He called me. I remember the night. I remember. I didn't ask for this thing. I didn't ask for God. I didn't say, hey, God, I got saved. Now let me preach. It's quite the opposite. So why in the world is he going to call somebody, anoint somebody, send somebody, and then just stop somebody? He's not. He's not. So stop listening to that fear. Amen? Because listen to this. Listen, I wrote this down. I thought it was good. When you do all these things, this can spur a Christian forward. To stir up is to rekindle or reignite the fire. What it says, look at this. If you do this, guess what happens? You start reminding yourself where you come from. You remind your gifts and callings. You remind yourself of what God's done. All of a sudden, you go from a smoker to a flame. Just somebody who's just barely smoking, barely hanging in there. God ain't putting you out. He's trying to stir you back up to a full flame. Some of you need to make a prayer every once in a while and say, God, rekindle me. Reignite me. Pour the fuel on the fire. I don't want to be just a smoldering smoke for you. I want to be a flame. I want to be something that can get glory, you can get glory from. Amen? Now listen to this. I wrote some more stuff down on this next part, which is really good. But the power and the love and of sound mind. Now look at this. Courage is power. Compassion is love, right? And self-control is a sound mind that God makes available will stand fast until God completes His work in them. I love this. God, He gives you that sound mind that reminds you, look, that, hey, I don't have to get out of control and go crazy and do weird stuff when things happen to me. Amen? I'm going to have compassion on other people. Your compassion will change people's lives. Amen? It will. And your courage, that means you're going to stand in God's power, not your own power. This thing keeps you rolling along until the Lord comes back. I like this so much tonight. I like it so much. I'm going to read that verse 7 again, and we're going to close. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. So when you start seeing that fear creep up on you, you're going to go back to the recipe. You're going to go back to this verse. You can go back to this chapter. You're going to say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start reminding myself where I come from. I'm going to remind myself of what God's been doing in my life. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to start living outside the spirit of this fear. I'm going to show some courage. I'm going to show some compassion. Amen? And I'm going to get in a sound mind. And I'm going to get back to doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen? This is a good thing, man. This is a good... This right here, to me, is probably, as far as a Christian goes, is like better medicine you can take just about anywhere. You know what I mean? Because it'll show you how to shake a bad thing going on in your life. Focus on God and focus on reaching out to others. And it lessens the power of the enemy on your heart, your mind, and your circumstances. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. Some kind of wind.